Well, you wait till they figure out that the best target in healthcare is dental practices.
Well, they have figured it out. Wait a minute. They have.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Hey, y'all. This is Tyler Watson with Specialty Orthopedics in Gainesville, Georgia, and you are listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro. I am David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
So today, we're going to be talking about ransomware everywhere.
Everywhere.
Well, specifically, I guess, the warnings of ransomware everywhere. So
yeah.
Does the warning precede the event? Sometimes.
Yeah, if you ain't paying attention, it's going. You should be paying attention.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Yep. I think we talked about ransomware a lot, and we'll get into that specifically as we talk about it. But I don't know that you can talk about it too much when it's so prevalent.
Well, we'll talk about whether that's a problem or not. That's one of our things.
All right. Well, before we dive into all of that, we got the HIPAA boot camp coming
Indeed.
Up.
Indeed.
So that is going to be our spring 2020 session, March 24, 25, 26. Likely the only one on the East Coast.
Yeah. Setting the stage. The discussions are promising.
Yep. So if you're interested in being in the Tuckajawja boot camp, then head on over to thehippabootcamp.com. Check out all the details. Get the early bird pricing while it's there.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to be more expensive to haul us out there. You know, we like to travel first class everywhere we can't even get it out without laughing. We may like to, but neither one of us is going to pay for it.
I want to get one of those, like, Volkswagen Scooby-Doo vans.
Ooh, and we'll take a trip. Road trip.
There you go.
Road trip. West Coast. Here we come.
Have one where you can, like, cook in it.
Be the Clampets coming out.
I know. I'd be like, Krista, scramble some eggs.
Yeah, that's right up Krista's alley. She looked at you like you had five heads. Me?
That's no different than any other day.
I know, really. She usually looks at you that way. And, you know, that's the good thing about her. She doesn't like to talk. She has that ability to just look at you and say so many things. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Now, Krista will be like, I'll get a phone call as soon as she listens to this episode.
Yeah, why are y'all talking about me?
And by the way, that is a good time to make a point is, you know, my team has to listen to every episode and make notes about it and put it in their training documentation so that we have ongoing HIPAA training. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the compliance team, you should be considering doing that for your team. Ongoing HIPAA training. Can't beat it. Anyway.
We can't do HIPAA training. It's so expensive.
I know. It takes so much time. We don't have time to take everybody off. You know, but we're not geared towards your, you know, random workforce training. But if you're in charge, I'm just saying. And then you should really, you know, once you get into it, make it to the boot camp. That's March 24th, 25th, 26th. Go to thehippabootcamp.com. Started to worry. Yeah.
I know. It's early in the morning.
Yeah, it's a little earlier for us. We're having to do a makeup recording because I had bronchitis.
Yeah.
During the holidays. Yeah.
Got to get up early and get my makeup artist. Get my voice warmed up.
I at least got out of my pajamas. So let's do this.
You're ahead of me then. Or maybe I should say, at least I have on pajamas. I got to. Why are you so quiet?
Yeah. Let's move along. Moving right along.
You know, you can listen to HIPAA naked. All right.
Stuff I don't want to know about. La 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 la.
Although I can't see you, I can see you vividly. All right. So before we dive into today's topic, here's a word from our crazy sponsors. Does your business work with medical practices? As a medical practice business associate, do you realize that if you have access to patient information, you have to follow the same HIPAA rules as your client? Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 so they can assess your privacy and security practices to help ensure you are protected and prepared. Visit CardinHQ.com to learn more.
Two-thirds of small businesses that experience a cybersecurity breach end up closing their doors within 6 months. Cybercriminals are targeting your practice and coming after your most sensitive data. Visit us online and schedule a time to talk about what you can do to protect yourself, your patients, and your practice. Our website is securityfirstit.com. That's securityfirstit.com.
All right, and we're back, and we're fully clothed. So let's talk about ransomware warnings everywhere.
All right, let's try it. I don't know where we're going to go. Clearly, I've lost control.
No, it's like I don't even know what to do now.
No, just let me stare for a minute, which is what I do this time of day anyway. But here's the thing, and I was surprised. I don't know about you. When you saw these numbers, were you like, really? You know, what? Interestingly enough, this year, May 2020, 5 years. Help me with HIPAA.
5 years. Wow.
We should throw a party.
This is the longest running idea you've ever taken from me.
I've put up with you way longer than anybody thought. Even you.
I know. And just for those who don't know the history of this, Don and I were talking one day, and I said, we should really record our conversations. It would make an awesome podcast. And 5 years later, here we are.
Still recording our random conversation.
Well, most of it, not all of it.
Thankfully, we have Bo editing us. Anyways, So in that almost 4.5 years, our first episode, we recorded a bunch of them, our test episodes. And just in case you're interested, episode number 2 was the first one we recorded. And then we went, hey, we should probably record something explaining this, and did one.
But, we should probably do an episode 1 since we did a 2 first.
Yeah. We should do one before this. So episode 2, if you want to go back and listen to episode 2, that was us going, let's see how this works. Will it work out? But starting back in May, we recorded a bunch of them, and then we started every week. And so in March 2016 was the first time we did a episode ransomware related, ransomware response planning. No, that was episode 43. So that's March 2016. Remember that, because things started changing around then, which is, you know. But then I searched our episodes for ransomware, 56 different episodes before this one. This would be 57. 56 different episodes. So 24% of our episodes so far.
Wow.
We've talked about it. It may not be in the title, but it's in the show notes. And there's probably some where we just didn't even put it in the show notes. So that tells you, yes, there are ransomware warnings everywhere you look, but clearly there's a reason, or we wouldn't be spending this much time on it, because we get bored with things if they're not important.
Yeah, pretty easily too.
So the fact that we're still talking about it and we're not making huge progress, clearly we need to talk about it some more. So yeah, ransomware warnings are everywhere. We can't shut up. Not yet.
No. Still lots of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's things have changed so much. You know, we don't see the same things we saw in 2016.
Well, yeah, and one thing to note is that ransomware technically has been around a long, long time, like the concept. But what really, I mean, if you go back, like 2013, CryptoLocker was, I think, one of the big successful ones. And it, what was it? Cryptocurrency. It was around that time. That's when things really kicked in. Soon as you had Bitcoin, that anonymous way to transfer money around the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what changed things. And, you know, most of the time around that beginning time, you know, you had your backup and you could stop it from spreading. And, you know, we both knew it was somebody clicked on something and it was going to encrypt that computer and anything that might be a map drive. That was it. Back then, anyway.
Yeah.
It ain't that way anymore. So, You know this because not only are we the ones that continue to talk about it over this timeline, but OCR is also continuing to talk about it.
Yeah. They're like, dude, if they're talking about it on the podcast, we should be putting something out.
Oh, no. Here we go. You're so helpful today. But their fall 2019 OCR cybersecurity newsletter was, "What happened to my data? Update on preventing, mitigating, and responding to ransomware."
Yes.
Yeah. And they made a point in their thing saying, you know, before 2018, it was very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody kind of thought that 2018, you know, it was going to be quiet because it was 2016 is when it reared its ugly head in a big way. And we started really seeing a lot of stuff. And 2017, that's when everybody started paying attention. Like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we started way back then.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, in computer years, it's like decades, you know. Yeah.
It's like when people say, well, I got a computer and it's only 5 years old. I'm like, what do you mean only 5 years old?
Holy crap.
I know.
It's like once we have them, they're 5 years old. We're like, okay, we know we have to replace that, but we shouldn't be using it for anything critical. You know, my server's 8 years old. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's think about that. But, you know, back then you got an email and you opened an infected attachment. That was almost, you know, that was what was going to happen. The emails were those spray and pray spam that you could get somebody to. You're almost as likely to get somebody to get a ransomware attachment as the, you know, helping the Nigerian prince.
I'm still waiting on my money.
I know, millions. But in 2016, that's when things started changing. That's when Hollywood Presbyterian Medical Center in California was hit. And I remember you and I going, wow, did you see that? Because they paid a big whopping $17,000 ransom in February 2016.
Yeah, because I remember when this ransomware thing kind of hit, and you know, I can recall them asking for, you know, $300,
yeah,
you know, $100, whatever.
$50.
I mean, yeah, it was so, people don't remember that, I don't think. You know, you look at it now and you're like, wait a minute, they're asking for $6 million?
Yeah. And that's, he's not kidding. I mean, people do. But see, the difference is, many people still think they ask for $50, $300, or I'll just pay the ransom and we'll be back up and running right away. It's not that way anymore.
My insurance will cover it.
Uh-huh. It still don't matter. And we're going to get into how different it is, because right at that point is the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, it seems that it was the turning point for a lot of things in 2016. You know, it was everything started to stack up so that by 2017, people were like, I better worry about this cybersecurity stuff.
Yeah.
You know, many of them are still going, I better worry about this. I'm going to do that next year.
What's this ransomware stuff you're talking about?
But that was when OCR released their first guide. It was in July 2016 that they came out with their fact sheet. Ransomware and HIPAA, because right up until that point, we were all like, just nuke and pay.
Yeah. Well, you know? There's also the whole argument about, is ransomware a breach? Is it not a breach? How do I deal with it? Yeah. Oh, so aggravating.
Yeah. Well, they fixed that because it changed everything. You know, it's no longer this little nuisance that you got to deal with. OCR said, you know what? According to the law, and when you sit down and review what they reviewed, they, you know, someone accessed your data that wasn't you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go. And you've got to treat it like a security incident that could be a potential data breach of PHI that should be reported. Okay. There you go. That's when the confusion started, because then everybody's like, you got to report all ransomware.
Oh, God. Yes. Yes, I remember.
And we were like, look, what they said was, this is a security incident that you should investigate. You know, can you prove all of these things and know how it happened and put things in place? You know, what was interesting is in that ransomware fact sheet in 2016, they said, we're seeing a 300% increase over the number of attacks in 2015 from 1,000 attacks per day to 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
We had no idea, because by 2017, the Department of Justice thought it was 100,000 infected every day, and they were pretty sure the payments were going to exceed $1 billion back then.
Yeah, yeah, I can see it.
And the cyber criminals are like, business model.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what they do. People, you know, it's, I don't know, for some reason, and it's probably all of those pictures of the hackers in the hoodies, you know, that's not what hackers are anymore. You know, yes, plenty of hackers wear hoodies.
I wonder if you order like a lot of hoodies, like if I order 20 different hoodies from Amazon, would I be on like some watch list? You know, I got to get all kind of uniforms for my people.
Mm-hmm. That, or you could just be a basketball team.
I write it off my taxes, uniforms, my hoodies.
My hoodies. You know, they, but the two don't necessarily equal each other anymore. This is just not the way it is. Plus, being a hacker doesn't mean you're evil, because you're a hacker if you're really good at cybersecurity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the white hat and the black hat, and there's probably some gray hats. I will be a black hat as long as it helps me, but if it's not helping me, I'll be a white hat.
Yeah, or maybe some red hats if you are into that.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Anyways, so I think that makes everybody think that when these things hit, it's like one person.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's now a business in another part of the country, or another part of the country, and it could be in the United States. It's they do find them, but it is a business that's set up, and they have employees, and they pay them, and it's not like just some kid in the basement that doesn't want a job and they're trying to make things easy. This is running businesses, and their business is to attack your business.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So first and foremost, yes, we continue to have these ransomware warnings because people aren't seeing that difference. And once you see that difference, that helps. But in 2017, we had WannaCry hit in May 2017, and that was one that spread within hours all over the world and made a big mess, and we were fortunate in the United States.
Yeah.
So in January 2018, OCR released another newsletter, and they used the term cyber extortion,
mm-hmm.
You know, instead of saying ransomware in the title. But there was a little drop in 2018, and SamSam was running rampant in early 2018, but people weren't noticing it because everybody was talking about cryptocurrency, and cryptocurrency became so valuable that was like, look, a squirrel for the criminals. Maybe we should do this. And then in March 2019, we had the episode Ransomware is Getting Scarier. And that's when Ryuk was specifically targeting businesses. Yeah. And we hadn't had one do that yet.
Yeah, because up until then, it was mostly consumers.
Mm-hmm. So this year in 2019, or last year, I'm still close enough to say, it was like a 400 or 500% increase in business attacks and a huge drop in consumer attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said, you know, what is it? The Willie, what's his name?
Yeah, why do you rob banks?
It's where the money is.
Yeah.
You know, so they found it. And in August 2019, the Department of Homeland Security, they have the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, you know, because I don't know. But it, we just say CISA. And CISA Insights, the title was, this is their little newsletter when things are, they want to get news out, Ransomware Outbreak.
And it was.
Well, you know, and we're there. We're still there. And it's not going to change. It's going to get worse. And, you know, that very first paragraph, Department of Homeland Security, you know, they're like, it's ransomware has rapidly emerged as the most visible cybersecurity risk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's only what we're seeing. Many more infections are going unreported and ransoms are being paid. And the vicious ransomware cycle continues on. Indeed.
Yeah. Well, the key to that, I think, is the fact that it says it's the most visible cybersecurity risk.
Yeah. Because it's the most visible, and we know we're not seeing all of it.
Right.
You know, it's like the iceberg, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how much is underneath. And they say, we strongly urge you to consider ransomware infections as destructive attacks, not an event where you can simply pay off the bad guys and regain control of your network. Do you really trust a cyber criminal, they say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they, and that the this when we'll have, we have a link to the to this alert newsletter thing, and they break it down really nice, because you know, you and I say things the way people, you know, way we think about them, and then we get edited to say it in a formal business. So they address both of our needs. So they have a section, actions for today, which they also say, make sure you're not tomorrow's headline. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Actions to recover if impacted. Don't let a bad day get worse. And actions to secure your environment going forward. Don't let yourself be an easy mark. You know, these are great. But, you know, that again, here's another government entity issuing a warning. And then we talked about in our 2020 predictions, this MCSoft ransomware report that came out in December 2019. And they really, the statement that was at the beginning of theirs was, ransomware incidents increased sharply in 2019 due to organizations' existing security weaknesses and the development of increasingly sophisticated attack mechanisms specifically designed to exploit those weaknesses. Combined, these factors created a near-perfect storm. And here's the boom. In previous years, organizations with substandard security often escaped unpunished. In 2019, far more were made to pay the price, both figuratively and literally.
Mic drop.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then we have, this group just interesting to me. Okay. So the name of it is the New Jersey Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Cell.
Yeah.
I don't know who worked on that name. NJCCIC. They got some great information on their website.
Yeah.
And threats they're tracking. And they have a list. They said, and the list is pretty interesting, names you hadn't heard in a long time, 234 different ransomware variants that they have been tracking since June 2015.
Man, that's a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, the good news is they said 98 of them, we have the decryption tools. So if you get hit with 98 of them.
Yeah, you got maybe a third of a chance, mm-hmm, or less.
Yeah, that we can decrypt it. So, you know, I mean, clearly everybody's screaming at you, you know, that the ransomware is something that you should, you know, all systems are blinking red.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And so to me, I know that there's, you know, as humans, is, you know, we're like, la, 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 la.
Yeah. Well, the other part is we hear about it and see about it so much that we just kind of become numb to it.
Yeah. We become complacent. And that's the problem, is people weren't fully educated to begin with. They see so much about it, they become complacent. And it's changing so rapidly and becoming much more serious than it was before. We're looking at a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so where they say it's a near perfect storm. It's really a perfect storm. So it's like alert fatigue. You know, that's a term the nerds have a lot of, alert fatigue. Mm-hmm. And it's coming at you from all these different areas, but you need to listen because being complacent, you know, what's the head in the sand thing?
Yeah.
You know, we know a lot of people, that's what they want to do, but, and I don't care what your business is. And this is, HIPAA has to, you know, we deal with it a little differently. And if you were really following HIPAA, healthcare wouldn't be where they are. But it doesn't matter what your business is.
You know, what's your business?
What's your business? In November, the Malware Labs.
Malwarebytes.
Malwarebytes Labs. They released a report that looks specifically at cybercrime's impact on healthcare.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So the 2019 state of healthcare, cybercrime tactics and techniques, state of healthcare. And, you know, when you see the headline, I chuckle because I have that sense of humor that it really, you know, but I also laugh when somebody falls down. Just, I can't help myself. Somebody falls down. That's, you know, we were watching Mr. Bean on Hulu, and I was hurting myself.
I almost had you laughing at a funeral the other day.
It doesn't take much. So anyway, their title was Labs, meaning Malwarebytes Labs, report finds cyber threats against healthcare increasing while security circles the drain.
Yeah. True.
So this is just in November, a couple months ago. The report was created. They said we're trying to educate, right? Educate, which is what we're trying to do. But also we're noting that there's a lot of people trying to educate and everybody's just like, I'm not.
Yeah, I don't want to go to class.
I don't want to go to class. But, you know, and they were talking about in healthcare how patient care is impacted. Hello. Mm-hmm. It's not about compliance. It's about patient care.
Yeah, we say that.
Yeah, every week. But they're finished that discussion by saying cyber criminals show no signs of remorse. And it's just like, you know, when you're on the computer in a discussion forum and people say evil, horrible, nasty things, these trolls attack, and but you call that person up and say, hey, why do you hate me? And it's like, you know, there's a podcast that a dude did, phone calls with people who hate me, conversations with people that hate me, something like that. It's fascinating because literally people that write scathing, you know, nasty responses to his, what, you know, his YouTube channel or whatever, he calls them up, says, hey, can we talk about why you hate me? And the vast majority of people are like, I don't really hate you. In person, we treat people like people. But on the computer, and these people don't know you, they don't care. Their software found you.
Yeah, yeah. You can hide behind that keyboard pretty easily.
Yeah. And so this is no different. And the labs collected, you know, from their all of their information and reports and threat intelligence and honeypots from October 2018 through September 2019 says they're only ramping up.
Yeah.
So we hadn't seen even close. They're just ramping up.
Yeah,
not
they're
just, it's they're reaching
figuring
the
stuff
pinnacle.
Out.
So every time you want to roll your eyes, because we get that. We do that a lot. But, you know, you've got to start listening and pay attention to the fact that you're not hearing about banks being hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the financial industry, you know, they built a lot of their own rules and started following them. And, you know, healthcare couldn't build its own rules, never builds its own rules. And even if they do build them, they argue about following them. And then when the government steps in and makes some rules, then they really argue about following. It's a mess.
Yeah.
But financial industries have invested in protections, but then we still have stuff like the Capital One breach and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you don't see ransomware.
Right. You know, another problem I see a lot of is that the industry is not keeping up, or even small business in itself, they're not keeping up with the fact that what you did last year is not going to be good enough for this year. And certainly what you did 3 years ago is not going to be good enough.
Yeah.
You know, I'm often having conversations with people like, okay, we're rolling out this new thing. And they're like, well, why do we need that? Because things have changed. I mean, it's constant. Or I'll you know, talk to a prospect and, oh, we just had all of our security updated 2 years ago. Well, okay. Well, that's not good anymore.
I know. We just talked about long ago, 2017, 2016, and how different it is.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody knows. I mean, healthcare is notorious for inadequate security. Everybody knows.
Yes.
The word's out. So you're you got massive amounts of data, super valuable. You're not doing the things that, in some cases, you're preaching to your clients to do, and you're not doing it. You know, you should be paranoid about your own stuff. And you're a big, juicy target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it could be fixed, but, you know, until people quit saying, well, I'm tired of hearing about it, but you better, because the times they are changing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to, don't treat it like it's the same song, different verse. You know, that Henry VIII, I am. You know, it's not one of those that gets stuck in your head, because it ain't your mama's ransomware no more.
No, this is ever changing.
Well, it's not just that. It's been so successful.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you know, you don't have to be the hacker with the hoodie.
I can
outsource the hacker in the hoodie.
Outsource the hacker. Well, you know, just like, you know, we today can get software as a service, you can get ransomware as a service. And there's layers of folks. So this group focuses on the thing that they do best, and then they take a cut from the people that are the ones out there bringing in the clients.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
if these people are bringing in, for example, the $6 million ransomware attack, I mean, oh man, how difficult is it for the criminal out there doing other things to say, you know what? I think that's a lot more lucrative and a lot easier than what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, there's so many things they can do when they do this. And you're not having to deal with identity theft. You're not having to deal with all this other. And there's layers you can build upon each other. So it's like multiple different criminals involved. It's a economy to itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, OCR's the latest newsletter. They're pointing out the attacks today are targeted. It's no more the spray and pray thing. It's not completely random. They're actively going after email accounts that they know look real or actually are real. And then it's targeted more like spear phishing to get people to open these infections and stuff like that. And, you know, they know that they can go after municipalities and healthcare entities and make a great living.
Yep.
Kind of jealous of them. And now they started in 2018. The end of 2018, the FBI was, you know, screaming, please listen to us, managed service providers. They're actively going after you to get to your clients. And they had multiple things about it. We talked about it. There's so much happening. And unfortunately, They didn't listen, and so I don't know. We saw a little bit of it in the beginning of 2019, but I think it really exploded in the summertime,
like oh yeah,
June, July, 2019, and it ain't going away anytime soon because it's been a cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because all the MSPs that have been hit, and we've talked about them over and over, the MSPs are paying because they ain't got no choice.
Yeah. Well, you wait till they figure out that the best target in healthcare is dental practices.
Well, they have figured it out. Wait a minute. They have. You know, for years, we've talked about how dental is notorious within our industry, the people that are in the know. You have the least opportunity to get dentists to believe they needed to worry about this until now.
Yeah, maybe. I still think it's a little ways off, especially when I was talking to a dentist the other day and, you know, the whole don't we have encryption?
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. So, but again, they're asking, you know, they never asked before.
Well, the only reason they're asking is because we moved them to another mail server.
Yeah.
But there again, you know, we talked about that in that last episode. Not a single, you know, business associate, anything happened. Not a single risk analysis happened. Nothing.
Did they sign a BAA with you?
No.
They didn't tell you they were putting PHI.
No. Matter of fact, like I mentioned in the podcast, when I set their mail up years ago, you know, I specifically said, this is not for sending PHI. If you're going to, and they're like, oh, we're not going to do that. We're not going to
go find it in writing. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to slow down. And we need the MSPs because we know, just as, you know, the report said, that if the cycle continues, as long as you pay, you know, and that was long before now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're aimed at municipalities, which clearly now we know we didn't have to ask that. I mean, the big ones got hit, and they, like every other business, we don't have time, we don't have money, we're not going to put it into that, you know. We're not going, we don't have any money in the budget to fix that bridge, fix that sinkhole, and secure the network. And nobody cares about the network. They just care about the sinkhole and the bridge.
Right.
Well, so much for that. So you got the municipalities and the healthcare entities, and now they're attacking the MSPs that support the municipalities and the healthcare entities, and across all of them. Big mess. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that there are MSPs that have been hit in this way, and they don't tell their clients that all of their clients got hit. They let their clients think they were the only one to get hit. We are absolutely certain that that's happened. You know what I'm saying?
That's not good.
Yeah. And so, again, it's very visible, and we know there's stuff taking place where we're not seeing it. I mean, I saw a news story in Louisiana where a local medical practice said they were getting hit by ransomware. And in the interview, they said, well, we understand it's our IT provider or MSP, but they've paid and they're putting us all back. Sorry. No. But we're not seeing that published anywhere else. And when you've got this ransomware as a service going on, you know, they're running. When I saw that they were running sales in November, it's like Black Friday.
I know.
You know, they weren't trying to move more units because they were going to make money on the more units. They were trying to make themselves go viral so that their malware would spread faster. But they run sales.
That's crazy.
We'll give you more money. Yeah. We'll take a smaller cut if you'll make us more famous.
Let's do it.
Sounds, you know. And then now those things have made it all different. Focusing on business has made it all different. And then in the last month, everything changed. So it changed a lot. We're talking 400 or 500% increase in businesses. That's not something to ignore. But this thing, when the two different gangs, the Maze and Soda No Kibi, Soda No Kibi, It's a cool name if you can ever get your tongue to do it. But those two ransomware gangs, and they are gangs. Let's not, you know, it's not just this software somebody downloaded and started firing it off. They started saying, we're going to take it to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pay us, we're going to announce that we took your data. And if you still don't pay us, we're going to publish your data.
Yep.
That changes it. That changes everything.
Yep. We're going to start killing somebody every hour on the hour until you pay.
Yeah. I mean, that's this. Yeah. And, you know, those old school attacks. And it's funny that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was old school, is old school now. You knew right away that you'd been attacked. People always say, how do I know if I have ransomware?
Or
if
I'm being attacked?
You'll know. It'll come up on the screen. Well, you could be being attacked by these ransomware gangs right now and not know just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know until they're leaving that they're attacking you.
Yeah. They've been in there messing around for a while, figuring out where all your data is, the best way to encrypt it, where your backups are so that we can delete those or make sure we encrypt it. They're watching what you're doing so that they can get you at the best time in the most devastating manner. And, oh, by the way, we're going to pull some data off before we drop our bomb on your network. I almost said drop our load, but drop the payload. The payload. That's There's so many ways that we could go with that. You can, clearly, it's early in the morning, but you know, it's bad enough that they're demanding payment to prevent them from doing more. But you know, here's the thing that we've also seen some of is that they're in there because what they've done is the software that used to just launch the ransomware attack, it comes in and it starts dropping off all this different malware that gives them access so that they can come in. They were so successful at doing that, they're like, hey, you know, we can do this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this stuff called TrickBot and Emotet. And this stuff gets in looking very, because it doesn't do anything itself, really. It's not being nasty. It's just coming in saying, hey, how you doing? I'm here at the party, you know. Hmm. And then what they do is they go find the back door and start letting the criminals in.
Yep.
You know. So the thing that's scary is they get into the network and now they're going to start doing things like they'll find the PAC system and use it to connect to the imaging devices. And, you know, what if they now, they found that there's actually cases where you can alter the MRI images from the machine. They can take tumors out and put tumors in.
That wouldn't be good.
Nah. And they do this. They do other kinds of things. There's, if you're a surgery center or a hospital, you got to worry about, can they get into the heating and air, the HVAC system? What if my temperature is jacked way up or way down? Because they're going to get in there and they're going to start finding other ways to hold you for ransom where, particularly in healthcare, your back's against the wall and you have to pay.
Mm.
Yeah, that's scary stuff and certainly nothing that any of us want to see. But until we strengthen up where we're at, vendors and providers and everybody, until we lock it down like they have in financial and banking, which is harder because there's more data, there's more interactive devices, it's not just transactional. There's a lot of reasons that it's harder in healthcare. I'm not saying, oh, it's easy, we should just do the same thing, but we can't just say, well, it's too hard to do.
Gotta do something.
Yeah, I mean, at least two practices we know of closed due to a ransomware attack in 2019. They just shut their door.
Mm.
And all their patients lost all of their medical records. And then we had the company where we read, you know, that shut down right before Christmas. They got hit by ransomware. They paid, apparently, multiple times. They've paid tons of IT folks to try to get them back online. And months later, they're still not back online and they closed their doors. It's not like you pay and then suddenly you're back.
Yeah.
You know, that nuke and pave thing. Oh, well, we'll just roll out it. It's not like that anymore. No. In 2016, we never considered the level of damage or risk that we're at now.
No.
And we were worried about it. You know, we thought, this is getting worse. But we didn't see it getting this bad. Well, at least I didn't. I'm sure you did because you're omnipotent.
I am. No, we used to talk, you know, tell everybody, make sure you have good backups and all that. But even that nowadays is not necessarily going to save you.
Yeah, they delete your backups.
Yeah,
if or they could find them. Well, you know, encrypting them was because people would, you know, leave them connected and they would just get caught up in the thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So the ransomware would run and it would find the backups and it would encrypt them. But today they're out there actively looking for the backups and putting it into their launch to delete them.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but like you said, if they're in there for a period of time, they know most people, even if they're doing versioning of backups, maybe, you know, maybe you have versions of backups for 30 days or 60 days or whatever. So if they're in there for 5 or 6 months and they're, you know, they got everything infected, then eventually your versioning, all of your versioning will be infected.
Yep. Just how long have they been lurking in there? You know, it's like we talked about that before, that we should, you know, you've got to worry about how long were they in there now. You've got to worry about what else did they do. So virtually any ransomware attack in healthcare now will result in a notification to all patients. It's just going to happen. So you've got to lock things down. You don't want to end up like the Alabama health system that now has a federal case because the community is suing them because they got hit with ransomware and they were turning patients away.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the community saying, hey, we're counting on you and you're not taking care of us. So, all right. So what should
it's hard. I know.
Yeah.
What would you do?
What would Donna and David do? What would the double D's do?
The double D's.
Yeah. So what should you do? What are we telling you to do? This is your to-do list.
Yep. Get out a pen and paper. Yeah. Put your car on auto.
Go to show notes. Talk to your vendors who have access to your systems. If they're connected, they have the ability, especially your IT vendor or your IT team. If they could have the same tools that are allowed to spread. So you want to find out what's out there. What's going to give people the little hook to get in to your network may not be on your network by you. It could be your vendors. And I think now we're thousands of clients have been hit in the second half. Would you say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least that one of them on Christmas Eve, it was like 1,100 clients. You know, just one of them, you know, and we've got 400 here, 20 there, 100 here. So thousands. Mm-hmm. And that's just in 6 months when we've really seen it effective. And those are the ones we know about.
Yeah.
As we said. So you've got to have a conversation with them. And don't let them say, don't worry about it. We got it.
Doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. You want to hear detail. You want to hear, we're terrified, we're paranoid. That's what you want to hear from them.
Yeah.
You know, that, nope. What? What would you tell your client if they ask you about it?
I would tell them we are absolutely are paying attention to it. And yes, we are respectively fearful. Mm-hmm. but we're also taking measures. And I would explain to them what measures we're taking. You know, talk about the multiple level of things we're doing.
Yeah, they should be aware that this stuff is happening and not assume they have it covered. And yet that's what you want to hear from them. You know, don't let them baffle you. If you have RDP exposed, we've said this for years, secure it with all kinds of levels of protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot have that sitting out there anymore. And it's baffling to me that they're still finding it and using it to get in.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of cases, people don't even know it's exposed.
Yeah, potentially. Or, you know, somebody said, hey, I know a way you can work remotely. You just turn this on.
Mm-hmm. You know. Well, no cases where, you know, well, we're only going to open this up for a little while and then no one goes back and closes it.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. So then the next thing and the most important thing is a security awareness program that isn't just what we know, we can't stand, annual training.
Yeah.
And Accenture did a report with Poneman about the cost of cybercrime and the evolution of cybercrime. And one of their big headlines was training employees to think and act with security in mind is the most underfunded activity in cybersecurity budgets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Training your employees.
And it's the most effective.
Yeah. You know, it's the most underfunded and the most effective. And I don't know. We can't get the word out. But they need to understand the threat and the risk that companies are shutting down and patients are being turned away and can't get care and they're losing their records. You need people to understand this risk. You should see people's eyes get big when I'm doing those training classes. You know, seriously, you need to mention that, you know, teach them that if something looks weird, you know, tell me. And
other you know, than you.
Yeah, not me. You know, if they think they made a mistake or something looks weird and, you know, they could be noticing the doors open and not tell anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a mouse see moving. That back door.
I walked in and the mouse was moving around, but, you know, it didn't happen again, so I didn't pay any attention to it.
Yeah. But, you know, they should know they need to say it, and then they should know who to say it to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just send an email to the help desk. That ain't going to be handled immediately in most cases.
Right.
You know, and the help desk folks need to not just assume users are being crazy.
Just reboot it.
Yeah. Have you turned it off and on again? Hello, IT. Have you turned it off and on again? IT crowd, I love it. And phishing test on a regular basis, not just once a year, but phishing test is the best way.
Yep.
That it gets people's attention, but it shouldn't be the only way. It should not be the only way. Make sure that, oh, well, we do phishing tests, so we're good to go. Because that makes them worry about their email, but that's not the only way people get in.
Yeah. 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 I think there needs to be more people that are doing social engineering testing. And I know that's a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that smaller businesses can often afford to do that, but you know, I think there needs to be some form of social engineering testing that you're able to do, even if you have to do it in-house somehow.
Well, you know, it's just like us walking in and doing our site visits and how we're able to walk around and do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, I learned that. I walked into a brand new client's office, went over, sat down at an empty desk with people all around me, and, you know, looked under their keyboard, saw their password. I started messing around right away. And people, they just kept doing their thing. No one said a word. So, you know, it's everybody. It takes us all.
Yep.
You know, it definitely will take the village to defend the data.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, then the next thing, patch everywhere and often.
Patching, patching, patching.
Yeah. Patching, patching, patching. Right? But the thing there is, and I don't know what's your methodology there when it comes to patching, David? I, you know, the MSPs say, well, we don't want it to be automatic because we don't want a bad patch to blow up 1,000 endpoints that we've got to then deal with.
Yeah, well, you can thank Microsoft for that.
Yeah.
You know, they've got this unique ability to break their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But patching is... So here's the issue with patching from an MSP standpoint is that one, yes, we want to try to, you know, not patch with patches that are breaking things. So we tend to, you know, if you're like us, we have a company that tests the patches and then whitelists what we can push out, and they blacklist the things that, you know, Microsoft comes out with a week later and says, oh, by the way, don't patch that one we did last Tuesday. So we try to catch those. But the biggest misunderstanding about patching is that often, if not all the time, we're not patching everything because we don't have the ability to patch everything automatically. Mm-hmm. And so you've got, you know, QuickBooks updates came out. Well, we can't patch QuickBooks updates most likely because we don't know that they're out and we don't know what version you're on and all this kind of stuff. Or, you know, there's all these other obscure programs you're running that our systems don't patch automatically. All these have to be done manually. And chances are your IT company is not patching those unless you're calling and saying, hey, I've got an update. Can you apply this update?
Well, and the thing, I mean, it's like little random stuff like Java, Adobe PDFs, and please let Flash players be gone soon.
Yeah.
And
some of that stuff is the bigger things like those, typically the MSP programs will pick up.
Right.
But typically. But there's so many other things that aren't being patched that they have to be done manually. And so the bad thing is if I come in as an IT company, I go, we're patching your systems. That's a broad statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not accurate because what if you have EHR applications that are on site, not in the cloud? Are those being mm-hmm. patched? Mm-hmm. Chances are, no, they're not.
Yeah. So one of the other things when you meet with your IT vendor is let's go through what you're patching.
Yeah. What exactly are you patching?
Versus my... Because if you did a risk analysis properly, you would have an inventory of software.
Yep.
And you go through your software and you say, what are you patching? And let's account for everything.
Yep.
Because those security patches, I mean, there's plenty of 0 days that are out there. And when you hear people talk about 0 days, that means they're using some sort of an opening in the software that no one knows about and there's not a patch for.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of those out there. But if, you know, WannaCry was for a 3-4 month old Microsoft patch, and people are still getting hit by WannaCry because they still don't have that patch.
Yeah, and anyway. And we're not even talking about patching things outside of the actual computer.
Yeah,
you know, things on the network, IoT devices. There's just tons of other things
your
out
firewalls,
there.
Firewalls, your there's so many things.
Yeah, and that's why because, when somebody says, we just call IT when we need them." Holy moly!
It's a very infected mess, you know, because VPNs, oh, we got a VPN. There's a bunch of VPN connections that have holes in them.
Yeah.
And they're having problems. So you've got to have a regular review. Somebody's got to do it. If you think IT's doing it, make sure there's a list of what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I can guarantee you that there is not an IT company out there that's patching everything you have unless you're asking them or they have something where they're sitting down and manually going through that list of software periodically and they're going through the list of your hardware periodically and they're making sure everything's patched. I guarantee it's not happening.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, we don't do it. If it, you know, so many MSPs back in the day, 2015, 2016, they got used to that automation and you could manage all of these endpoints fully automated.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, here's a scary thought. This just happened last week in an IT forum. Mm-hmm. There was some discussion about using CCleaner software in a healthcare environment. Mm-hmm. And most of the IT people that responded said, what does using CCleaner have to do with HIPAA? It doesn't have anything to do with it. That was their response. And I'm mm-hmm. like, are you kidding me?
I'm going to do a class on that. But, you know, CCleaner was one of the ones that got hit.
Yeah, and that was mentioned in the thread and still
no one got it.
Most everybody said, this has nothing to do with HIPAA. Why are we discussing HIPAA dealing with CCleaner? They're not even remotely the same. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people, really?
It's a security thing. So this is then, you know, you got to have a plan when you get hit. We've talked about that over and over. In fact, our very first episode was ransomware response planning, and clearly that's all changed. You know, mm-hmm. now you can't assume your vendor has it. Oh, do you have a plan? We got a backup. You know, backups, you can't just say we got a backup. You have to have a plan that you're hit and you still have access to your backup and that everything you need will be on that backup. You have to assume all your systems are gone.
Yeah.
I work from there.
Yeah, what's your plan for recovery? Because backups is not what you're paying for, I hope.
I know, please. That's a great line. You don't pay for backup, you pay for recovery. I like it that David says that. Pay attention to what people are saying. You know, they may not think something suspicious. It's just like David said, you know, and you're walking through the office and you're like, what are you there? Oh, well, we can do that. No, you can't. Something weird. Monitor your logs and access to patient records for inappropriate activity. Today, products like Sphere, they're becoming a necessity because they're going to let you know if somebody's username and password has gotten out and they're actively in there in the EMR on top of everything else. So you look for a small change in access patterns and those kind of things, because that could be the difference between stopping an attack and surviving one.
Absolutely.
Install tools. There are tools. There are anti-ransomware tools. Crypto Prevent, Malwarebytes has an anti-ransomware tool. We run those all the time, and it makes a difference.
Yep.
So what else we got?
I mean, if they just do half of these, they'll be in a much better place.
I know. You know, it's all about, can we stop it when it starts before we're having to survive it?
Yeah.
And, you know, how can we do that? And a lot of people have been lucky, but luck's running out.
Yeah. Well, for those people, you know, I mentioned earlier, the people that are sitting there saying, well, you know, I'll just let my insurance cover it if it happens. I don't think so.
It's not about that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know, you look at the company, they paid. Their insurance did cover it, and they still closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the folks that choose not to pay, their stuff's being published, and now they have to deal with that. So you have to sit down and think about these no matter what business you're in.
Yep.
Okay. Hopefully, ransomware warnings are everywhere. You'll now understand why they're there, not just torture you.
Yeah. So there's your warning for 2020.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Let's make it better than 2019.
Yeah, I would love to say that I have a lot of faith that that will happen, but I don't.
We're predicting no.
Well, it's, you know, the people that do the ransomware are more zealous about their job than the people protecting it.
Well, they're making a boatload of money.
Yeah. Well, you would think that people that provide protection would be, you know, just people banging their doors down to get protection for their stuff, and they don't. They don't.
Or they do. Remember one of the ones we talked about that had like 400 dentists hit. What got hit was the company that advertised, don't be a ransomware statistic. And every one of their clients is now a ransomware statistic. You know, yes, they were able to recover, but we don't know the details yet behind that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't speak for anybody but myself, but I know that we are just now in our business starting to hear people coming to us with the security conversation front of mind. Before this year, we've come to them with security first. and they're like, well, I just want to get my printer.
Like security first IT.
Yeah. And they're like, no, I just want to be able to print. And I just want QuickBooks to work. And I just want this. And I'm like, okay, that's great. And we'll do all that. But security is really the thing we need to be having a discussion about. Well, I'm not worried about that. But it's starting to turn. I mean, I'm starting to now hear people asking the questions about security, and then they're kind of putting, as a matter of fact, we actually brought two clients on in the past, probably 2 months, that's what they wanted. Like, they didn't even want IT support. They wanted security.
And you're like, yay, it's finally working.
And I'm like, wow, check this out. How cool is this?
Yeah. So, and know that you can't just assume your vendor has it. Yes, even if David is there and he's got these great security tools, who is the one we should have on board the most? Your people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people.
Yeah, I can give you all the hammers and screwdrivers and saws and all that, but if you're not using them.
Yeah, you know. Hey, or you got that one loose beam that you know it's going to be, you know, fixed soon, and David's going to pack some things around it because you hadn't told him that you added that, and then you have an employee run into it and knock it down.
Yeah. But we still have a huge problem in our business with people not talking to us about other IT-related vendors that are coming in to do things. Still happens all the time. We get phone calls. We got somebody here trying to set up a new printer, a new copier. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how long did you know about this? You know, mm-hmm. a month? You didn't say mm-hmm. anything? We got a VoIP vendor coming in. I mean, just this past week, we had both of those happen. You know, mm-hmm. we got a new VoIP vendor sitting here waiting. I'm like, okay. You can't have people coming in dealing with IT and not have IT aware of it.
That's another reason, just another thing that, you know, drove me nuts, that pushed me out of the MSP. All right. There you go, David.
That's it. All right. That is our show for today, folks. And remember, we warned you.
Again and again and again. Yes, we warned you over and over and over for a reason.
Yep. So when it happens to you, we'll be talking about you on this podcast. Make sure you share this episode out on your favorite social media site. If there is one, you can rate our podcasting app. Help us spread the word. Remember, for Donna and myself, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.